We have boxes out there. It's $9 for shipping. You pay the $9, you take the Benny's boxes that you want to, and then start filling them up. There's lots of instructions. If you don't know how to do this, there's instructions. And then I think in 3 weeks is collection week, we'll bring them all back together. And you can start bringing them back right away. Father, thank you so very much. What a phenomenal thing that we get to be involved in your work of reaching the world. That this is one of the sweetest spots to send the gospel. The results are amazing, Lord. Kids who have no hope, families who have really no hope because of where they live, that's all. Just because of where they live. And yet this brings a message of hope, that there is hope. There's a light in that darkness, and his name is Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you'll inspire many more churches to be launched because of this work, these boxes that'll sit on our stage. Lord, bless every one of these folks in here today for what they've brought today, their offerings, their tithes. Thank you for blessing them. We've heard so many stories how you've changed entire family landscapes because folks have learned to be generous and be regular, faithful with their money. And so bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this month is famous for what holiday? Thanksgiving. How many of y'all are going to share Thanksgiving at your house or family member's house? Let's see. Yeah, I want you to remember, on that day, as the nation is gathering together, they're celebrating on the 28th of November, Marsha Webb's birthday. Isn't that cool? Isn't that good? Look at her. There she is. She's so cute. Yeah. Anyway, thank her for her birthday. Thanksgiving month. Here's my plan. I don't want to just make it a one week, an event. I don't want to preach Thanksgiving the Sunday before Thanksgiving and give you reasons why you should be thankful. I like to spend a month doing this. I've got several messages. I'd like to give over the month and make this a big deal. Thanksgiving can be, should be a big deal. And I'm not just talking about the holiday. Do you think giving thanks is important for a Christian? Kind of obvious, isn't it? I'd even say that you'll probably never be really good at being a Christian until you've become good at giving thanksgiving and having true, genuine thanks in your heart. So I'd like to make this a big deal month. Now, I don't mean like some families do. Some of y'all, this might be you, I hope not, but Thanksgiving is really kind of a dreary thing. It's drudgery. You really don't look forward to it. Why? Well, because you're going to have to clean up the house for some people who are going to come that you maybe don't even like that much, and they're going to make a mess. And you're going to spend all that time preparing meals that are only going to just exhaust you and wear you out, and they'll wolf it down and then be gone. You'll be spending money that you maybe shouldn't even be spending. You'll be having discussion around the table, arguing over the same things that you argued over last year. And then you'll stand at the door and you'll say, "Oh, it was so good to see you. Can't wait to do it again." And all the way home, they're just going to be talking about how they don't like you. And you might even be doing the same. Unfortunately, a lot of America, that's the Thanksgiving that they will have. And I say not. There's a reason the Bible says thanksgiving or thanks or give thanks 166 times. And as I look at the word thanksgiving, I thought to myself, man, that is something you do. That's an action, thanksgiving. And that makes it a verb, right? A verb is something you do. It's an action word. And I thought about that. I started looking at several verses, and I go, I think that's a noun in that sentence. So I became a little troubled about it, and I called Rachel. You know, I spent a lot of money for her to get an English and speech and theater degree. So I'm calling in part of my investment. I said, hey, is Thanksgiving a verb? She goes, well, it says in the Bible. Let's see. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Yeah. Yeah, it's something you do. Well, wait a minute. Maybe that's not a verb. That looks like a noun. Sounds like a noun. She goes, you better call the expert. Who's the expert? In all of Taney County. Josh Hill is good. He's very good. But for most of these folks here in Hollister, and several of you know who it is, you had her in junior high English, Nancy Beckman, Hollister Schools. Some of y'all are laughing. You've seen it. Your kids have had her. She's been there quite a little while. She was here in the first service, and she's the expert. I called her and said, Nancy, I'm preaching a sermon. I need your help. Tell me in the Bible where Thanksgiving is a verb. She goes, okay, I will. And she goes, wait a minute. Let me work on that and get back with you. So after a little bit, I get a text from her. I said, verb, adverb, you know, what is it really? And she said this, I cannot use Thanksgiving as a verb in a sentence. But it is what I do, or it is my actions. She's saying it's an action word. Some way, or in the same way, it's not an adverb. I cannot use Thanksgiving as an adverb in a sentence. It does, but it does describe my actions on a daily basis. Way to go, Nancy. I'm sure she's that kind of person. So, technically, correctly, in correct English, it's not a verb. But today, right here in Hollister, Missouri, on this stage, I'm going to do the impossible. I'm going to prove to you it's a verb. Thanksgiving is a verb, and that's going to be our message for really for a month. And where should I start? Psalm 100. If you're not feeling some Thanksgiving right now, you are going to be in a minute. This is a phenomenal psalm. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Makes me just want to shout up a little bit right now. I just want to get up a little bit of shouting and joy for the Lord. Can I hear somebody give the Lord a shout and give me an amen? Amen. Wow, that was a good one. Y'all are better at it than the first service. You can tell them I said that. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. Isn't it good to know that he is God? And you don't have to be. Isn't it good to know that your God is the only God, the only true God? There's lots of other gods conceived in man's, contrived in man's ideas, in his brain, but there is only one God. Can I get an amen? Amen. It is he who made us, and we are his. That feels good. We are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. I'm glad that I belong to that God, my shepherd. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Even for David when he wrote that. On past David into the latter minor prophets of the Bible. Right up into John the Baptist and into Jesus. They could continue to Jesus entered the courts of the Lord with thanksgiving and praise in his heart. 2,000 years and many generations later, we can still enter the courts of the Lord, his house in Hollister, Missouri, and give him praise and be thankful for what the Lord has done. Amen, church. Come on, ushers, let's do another offering. I'm feeling that good. No, I'm just kidding. But I am thankful to God, aren't you? The Lord is good. 2019, he's been good. 2020, he will be good. And we can get good at being thankful. Thanksgiving. I'm going to suggest three ways that we can make this an action word, a verb, right here today in Hollister, Missouri. How can you do it? Well, first of all, we can because thanksgiving as a verb is good to do for our prayers. Thanksgiving is something you can do and bring into your prayers. In fact, it's going to be the secret sauce to make your prayer life really dynamic and powerful. How do I know that? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many are familiar with that verse? Nearly all of you. Man, you know, many of you can quote it. But have you really ever noticed? Underline it in your heart now, in your Bible. In every situation, you can pray and bring petition with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a secret ingredient to prayer. Those three things, prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. Think of them as three components to make the whole, to make it right. For example, how many of y'all make brownies or cake? What are some of the ingredients that say, for example, go in brownies? Let me hear you. Egg, yeah. What else? Oil, yeah. Someone said flour. Can't have chocolate brownies without chocolate. What about sugar? How's your brownie taste without sugar? Not good. It's not good. It's just not there. I'm going to suggest that thanksgiving is the sugar in your prayer. The Bible says, first of all, in prayer and then petition. Those are two different words. Petition, you understand, it means petitioning God or asking or requesting. When we come to God in prayer, a lot of times we all got that part down right. In fact, too often that's the only component in prayer. But there's a reason he said in prayer and petition. Prayer is first because prayer needs to come first. Well, what is prayer? It goes beyond just petitioning God. Real prayer is just not God hearing from us. It's an opportunity for us to hear from God. So the first part of prayer is essentially to come to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to ask you about some things, and you say I should do that. But first of all, can I hear from you? Real powerful, real effective prayer, as you and I need it, is when we come, first of all, to hear from the Lord. I usually come in every morning, have my devotion. I've learned this through the years. Before I go through my list of things for the Lord, and before I give him my shopping list, I always start with my Bible closed. Lord, I'm giving you this time this morning. It's your time. In a moment, I'm going to read your scripture, and in a moment, I'm going to bring you some requests. But first of all, what is on your mind? What do you need to say to Dennis this morning? I want to make sure that I'm tuned in with you, Lord. And does he answer that? Yeah, sometimes he says, well, Dennis, here's what I feel about this morning. I know what you're going to ask. And sometimes he says, now, Dennis, there's something you need to fix first. There's an unconfessed sin, and I need you to admit that sin and confess it. He'll bring it to your mind. If you ask him, Lord, is there anything that I've said since we talked last or done that is wrong, he is not going to just wink at it and go on. He will tell you, listen to what the Spirit says and then respond. I have found that prayer is like Moses going up the mountain. When Moses went up to the mountain of God, he went up with some fear and trembling because he saw the fire and he heard the thunder up on the mountain. He heard the peals of rumbling that had to be a little bit terrifying. So Moses, first of all, says, I'm going to make sure I'm consecrated. And he did that. You know, he went through a process of making sure his sins were forgiven. And for us, that's admission and confession. And then that mountain was was a long hike. It just wasn't a mound of dirt in the backyard. It wasn't like he just went out to the back porch and sat down in a nice chair with his Bible and said, okay, Lord, can we talk? Can I talk to you? Moses spent a lot of time navigating that mountain. And all the way up there, he is getting prepared as he's getting closer and closer to the Lord. And once he finally got up there, what did he get? He got the presence of God. God had to hide him in a cleft in the rocks so that the presence and the majesty of God did not hurt him. And he heard God in the wind, and he saw God in the storm, and he felt God in the fire. And then he received the word of God. God gave him the Ten Commandments. That's the word of God. And for you and me, friend, that is prayer. Taking the time to make the climb, to put in the effort to get to the presence of God so that he can speak to us even in the whisper. Prayer is really letting God speak to us. Communing with God, getting close. Then there's a time of petition. Give. He wants to hear. He wants you to tell him what your needs are and your requests. Now, why would he do that if he already knows it better than we do? He invites it. He loves it when you bring him requests. When you tell him and pour out your heart to him about something, he loves that. Why? Because he loves being your father. He wants to embrace you and give you great life. He likes to answer your requests just like you ask them. In fact, Christian, the only time God's not going to answer your question, your request, just like you've asked it, is when? When God says, you know what, that's not best. That might hurt you. Or you know what, that's a C minus. I've got an A plus for you. God's going to answer your request. Sometimes it's, yes, okay, that's great, I like it, let's do it. And sometimes, well, can you wait on me because I've got something even better. Either way, that's good. But the Lord says now, after prayer time and then petition time is what? With thanksgiving. Here comes the secret sauce, the sugar and the brownies. He says, now that you've prayed, thank him for it with thanksgiving. That's like saying, Lord, I've asked you about this stuff. I've had an amazing time with you this morning. And now, Lord, with thankfulness in my heart, I just express to you my confidence in you. I'm so thankful that you're going to answer my request or do something even better. That, Lord, I'm ready to just rest in that, and I give it to you. And I'm thanking you in advance before you do it. Or, Lord, even if you don't answer exactly like I've asked, you've got even a better plan, and that's Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says what? We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love him, called according to his purpose. You see, once you add thanksgiving into your prayers, you begin to look for the Romans 8:28. And this sugar in brownies, what is that? That's a compound. I meant to look this up. It's a compound. You don't dig it out of the ground, but you add a couple things that come out of the ground, and you get sugar, C and H and something else. I don't know what it is. Box? I don't know. Whatever that is, it's a compound. And what makes your prayers really powerful and effective is that compound called faith. Jesus said, be it done to you according to your faith. When the man asked him to be healed, Jesus said, be it done according to your faith. You're healed. You have your eyesight back. So just like sugar and brownies makes it really work, faith in your prayers makes it work. And thanksgiving is the thing that sets it on fire. Lord, I'm thanking you right now because I know you and I know how you answer prayer. We've got a story that's going on right now. It's little Joe and Emily Bishop, cute little couple that go to New Beginnings, got married here just a couple years ago. They have a 2-year-old boy named Wyatt who's in the hospital in Springfield. You've been praying for him. You probably got text connect. And I got a picture of little Wyatt. I went up to see little Wyatt this week. Isn't he sweet? 2 months old. He's in the Mercy NICU or ICU. I don't know. Baby infant ICU. He's got RSV. And he was really at death's door. It was really close. And you've been praying. And a little boy's starting to come out of it. And Joe, his dad, he's so emotional. He just blubbering. Emily is the mature one in that family. I mean, she's kind of the strong one. He's just a baby with his emotions. He cries the pastor out, having such a hard time. It's just tearing me up, my little boy. And he said, this thing has changed our lives. But pastor, I know that my little boy has a calling on his life. He's predestined by the Lord. My little boy is going to survive. My little boy is going to grow up and be strong. And I know that I know my little boy is going to tell people about Jesus. He's going to preach the gospel. Joseph, when I pray, I know that that's what's going to happen. That's faith. And he says, I don't know why I've had to go through all this trouble. And I've spent so much time crying. He said, but I can tell you, it's making us a better Christian. I said, Joe, this is the Romans 8:28 in your prayer. You're praying for this little boy, and God says, I've got more than just healing. I got something even more in addition to that. I'm going to work this out for good. And if you've said by your own confession, your little boy is going to grow up and survive and be strong and tell people about Jesus. Now, I can tell you, Joe, to get to that place, God has to have his mom and dad as spiritual people. He needs a mom and a dad who know and love Jesus, who have been tested by the fires. That's what he needs. God is answering your prayer right now. You see, children, we need to look for the Romans 8:28. God, you are going to work this out, and I give you thanks for it even in advance. Here's another way that making Thanksgiving a verb is good for you. It's good for your heart. This is heart healthy right here. Go back to Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything. How many know that anxiousness is not good for your heart? Anxiety and stress does what? Hard on your heart, heart disease, high blood pressure, strokes, all kinds of ugly things. But this says, don't be anxious. And in every situation with prayer and petition, with what? Your medicine is thankfulness. Thanksgiving. Thank God. Present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you express thankfulness and you make it a verb in your life and you start conducting your life, doing things and saying things, words are so important. With thankfulness, it's going to make you healthy. Going to make you healthier. You know how you feel when you do something to help somebody? Doesn't that make you feel good? You can be having a real bad day, a down day, you do something good, how it just lifts you. That's what this is all about also. When you get your stuff shopped for, you get your little stuff collected, you get you a box, we're all going to do at least one, and you, listen, putting all that stuff in there, that's hard, because y'all are going to be just like me. You're going to go to Walmart, and you're going, oh, he needs that, he needs that, he needs that, she needs that. You don't know if it's a boy or girl that you're shopping for. And you'll get about 3 boxes full of stuff and try to put it in 1 box. Don't you? That's the way it goes, isn't it? You can't do it, but you'll put that on there and write yourself a little letter. Put the rubber band around it. Put your hands on it, you and your wife, and you pray on it. If you got children, make this the big deal in Thanksgiving month. Make this big. Get them involved. Y'all get in there and pack it together. Explaining to your children that this little boy, this little girl, you're going to bless them. They're going to get this, and they've never had these kind of gifts. Your children need to know that. When they're getting such incredible gifts because they were just fortunate to be born in America, But this little boy or girl, not. You do something for somebody, it's good for your heart. This thankfulness is a superfood. Have you heard of superfood? Who's heard of superfoods? Have you heard that? There are certain foods nutritionists have determined are especially good for your physical and your mental. And I've been doing a little study on it. I've read a lot of different lists. There's a whole bunch of different lists. I just decided I was going to take the top seven that were most mentioned and compile my own list. Are you ready? So let me let you do some guessing. What are some of the things in the top seven?
Kale.
Kale is number one. Virtually anything green. You could go out there and eat the grass in the yard. I'm sure there's something good. What else? Fish, specifically salmon, is like number three. But fish is good. Eggs. Eggs are very good, like number four. Avocado did not make top seven, but it is a big one. It's a good one. Berries. Specifically, which one? Blueberries. It's on nearly everybody's top 10 list. I don't know why blueberries, but I think I just kind of know. Blueberries are awesome. Blueberries on top of pancakes with butter and syrup. Come on. Whipped cream. Come on, that's heaven food. Bananas are just not in the top seven, but a banana a day is very good for you. Chicken, not top seven, but it's good. What else? Nuts, tree nuts. Tree nuts are very good. Olive oil, and there's your seven. By the way, honorable mention, chocolate. These people think not chocolate-covered M&Ms. Chocolate on top of blueberries, on top of butter, on top of syrup. Woo! Chocolate is also very good for your marriage. And that's point number three. Thankfulness is good for your marriage like chocolate. Watch this. Philippians 4, the Spirit clearly says, in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Pause. This is a little weird. I know it doesn't really fit, but I need you to get the context. It's saying that in the future times, which we might be there now, that this is kind of some behavior we're going to see. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. Saying in the future days that we would see people, and I think we've already seen a few, these cult leaders who gather all these people in the name of Jesus, and they're liars, they're hypocrites. You can't marry, and they'll have eight wives. Or you got to abstain from this and that. If their conscience is seared, what do you do when you have a wound with a hot iron? You cauterize that wound. It sears it over, makes the bleeding stop, creates a scar which gets hard and has no sensitivity and no feeling. Scars have nothing. That's the way they are in their conscience, okay? That helps explain what that. But notice my point. God said, all the food that I created is good. Nuts, blueberries on pancakes with syrup. He didn't create that. He did create whole grain. What he created was good, and we can eat it all. But notice in the context, in that same sentence, what did it say? Marriage. Marriage created by God to be. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Marriage was given by God. Amen? It was his idea. Did he say it was good? He said that one was very good. Everything else was good. Marriage was very good. And it's to be received and not rejected. So how does thankfulness as a verb going to come into this. You reject your marriage. You reject your spouse when you don't receive them with thanksgiving. It says marriage is consecrated by the word of God. Your marriage, the vows you took before the Lord, that's a consecration. That God put Adam and Eve together, that was a consecration. His whole idea is good. Receive it. Some of y'all in this front row here, these teenagers, you're going, oh, yeah, I'm ready for that. But how does it actually work out in your house? Is there total receiving with thanksgiving? Is there some resentment? Is there some rejection? I love him, I love her, I like this and that, but I don't like this or that about them, and that tends to capture my attention. I want you to have some secret sauce for your marriage. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you're not married, you're single, pick somebody out that's close to you. A friend, somebody you work with maybe that you don't even like. This is still good for you. Here's what you do. Today, tomorrow, the next couple of days, go home, make a list. Get a pencil, piece of paper, and do this. Write the 10 things that you are thankful about your spouse. 10 things about them that you're thankful. Some might be saying, I can't come up with 10 things. I'm hard, can't come up with 2. Let me help you. Does her feet stink? No? Write it down. Does she shop for groceries? Yeah, write it down. Does he go to a job? Well, it ain't enough. Write it down. It could be worse, right? What if he didn't go at all? Does he come home every night? Wish he didn't? No, that's not receiving. Write it down. Come up with 10 things. I did this yesterday morning with my wife. Not with her. We got up in the morning, and she said something I just didn't like first thing right out of the chute, and I let one fly, and I said something's a little bit ugly, you know, tit for tat, and that didn't go very good. That was like a hand grenade in the house. I went over and sat down by myself. I said, all right, I got to fix that. I could tell she was mad. And so I started making my list. 10 things about this woman. She's pretty. She's a great dresser. She buys my clothes. She is a great mom. Her kids adore her. I just kept going. She's a good shopper. Easy to live with. I got my 10 done. And then she came over. And Marcia has a way of making up that's really powerful. She looked at me and said, are you ready to say you're sorry for what you said? I made my list. I'll show it to you when we get home, right after you make your list. So make your list, take it to your spouse and say, I got yours ready if you got mine ready. And don't give it up until they are ready. Have some fun with it. Do it. It's an action. It's a verb. Thanksgiving is the secret sauce in a marriage, in life for a Christian. It expresses your faith before good things even happen. And be it done according to your faith. Do it with your children. Y'all, right here, you kids. Go home and make a list. 10 things you like about your dad or you are thankful. And about your mom. And then go to them. Your mom and dad say, I got mine ready. When you get yours ready, let's meet. You're doing something, making November a big deal for yourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you. I know that right now in heaven, you're thankful. You're thankful for every one of us that are here today to hear the word of God. You're thankful for every one of us who are in your house of worship, being a family. You're thankful that we've responded to the love and the care that you've given us. The millions of things we don't even know, but we're thankful. You're thankful that you could write our name in your book, and we're a child of God. So, Lord, we want to learn to be active, making thankfulness a part of our life, active and living part of our life. Continue to teach us. Bless these precious people, Lord. I know they're your sheep, and thank you. It's been so fun to have them together with me in a pasture this morning. How trying to feed green pastures the bread the Lord gives. Love them. Love them. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for every one of them. So we go from here, Lord, ready to make November a big deal. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you know what I'm thinking? Chiefs. I'm going to get some blueberry chocolate chip buttered up pancakes and watch the Chiefs in a little bit. Go ahead and stand to your feet. I love you. Sing with Josh, and then we'll hug at the back door, all right?
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Have a great week. See you.
Get a crowd.